Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, December 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. Today, meteorologist Jason Goff joins us once again to answer your questions. Jason runs a great forecasting website at jasonsweather.com. And if you have a question about the varied weather we have been experiencing, the other day it felt like April, today it feels like December, which is appropriate because it's December. If you have a question about weather, regardless of the month, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org for your email. The number is 800-348-2551. Meteorologist Jason Goff and your weather calls coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're joined today by meteorologist Jason Goff, who is here to answer your questions about the weather. Jason runs a forecasting website, which is terrific. It's called jasonsweather.com. He was before that on News Channel 13 for years and years. We're always happy to have him on these airwaves. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question about the weather, and who doesn't, the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. You can do it that way, and we'll try to get to as many emails as we can. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Jason Goff, how are you, my brother? Happy Thanksgiving.
And same to you, Ray. Good to talk to you as always, man. How's everything on a Wednesday afternoon?
You know, it's okay. It's weird. The way I said it going into the show yesterday, early, it was teeming rain and it was warm. And today I was coming back from the parking lot mid-morning and I was pelted by, and you, I know that you talked about this in the last show, and I'll be darned if I can remember what you call it. It was like snow, but it was spherical. Little tiny spheres of snow.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. Little. It's called grapple. And basically what it is, it's otherwise known as soft hail. And so it's a kind of a, it's a hybrid, if you will, between snow and rain. Kind of in between, if you will. It's just like a basically, you know, you described it perfectly. It's just like these little spherical, and they are soft. If you pick one up, they're going to melt pretty quickly. They have a higher water content. And we typically see that in the fall and in the spring. So happens all the time, especially on a day like this. You know, if you're out and about driving around or whatever, this morning we had a trough that came through from west to east, and the skies were just about black. I mean, they were really something. And we had a little burst of some snow showers, but, you know, that stuff is going to mix in again. We'll see that typically not too much going forward as things get colder, but then we'll start to see it again in, like, March and April.
You know, it just occurs to me, who came up with the name grapple? The meteorologists were having a couple drinks, and they, you know, we're going to call this grapple. What does that mean?
Well, it sounds like a German name. I mean, that the grapple.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know if it directly translates to soft hail or not, but that very well could be the case. So I'll have to do a little bit more research on that.
All right. Yeah, you put it on your website. That'll be a fun one. Now, this email came in, believe it or not, at 8:55 this morning. Joe in West Hartford writes, as we approach and pass the solstice, what is the reason that the days begin lengthening in the afternoon starting around December 15th, seemingly as much as half hour or more by January 15th, but at the same time, sunrise occurs at a fairly constant time in the morning until then, and that is from Joe.
Well, you guys have an astronomy show, right?
Oh, yeah. It's on tomorrow, okay, actually. Well, so if you want to punt, we could certainly do it tomorrow as well.
Well, I don't want to punt, but I'm certainly whoever your guest is tomorrow, will he or she will be able to answer that a lot better than I can, because it is more of a, well, I mean, it is sort of meteorological, but it's also astronomical.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I was going to say astrological about that.
Don't do that.
So.
Yeah.
So basically what it has to do with is there are a couple of different things that are going on, right? Like the Earth rotates on its axis every day. We know this 23 hours, 56 minutes. But then also the Earth is moving around the sun. So we've got two different scenarios playing out. And what it really boils down to is the length of the solar day. So as we get into the solstices, which is when the sun's overhead rays will hit either the Tropic of Cancer, that is in our summertime in the Northern Hemisphere, mm-hmm. and the Tropic of Capricorn, which the sun is getting toward. It's going to be there in just about 3 weeks, just a little under 3 weeks, and that'll be the first day of winter. Those solar days are actually longer. And so what you think about is as the Earth is rotating on its axis and then also going around the sun, this time of year, it has to take a little bit, it takes a little bit longer for the sun to kind of catch up to the Earth, if you will, in terms of the amount of daylight. So in other words, around the equator, when we're on an equinox in the springtime, the solar days are relatively short, whereas the solar days are longer as we get deeper into December and even into January, to answer Joe's question. So what that kind of does, if you think about it, is it sort of drags the day forward. So the sunsets get later, but also the sunrises get later until we start to approach that solstice. And then that's when the sunrise times start to come a little bit earlier, and so that they're going in opposite directions. So if you actually look at like a sunrise sunset chart, and I have one on my website, you know, you'll notice that, you know, the days do start to get longer in December, but not by much. I mean, you're only talking like 20 to 30 seconds a day. Yeah. It's not until we get later into January that you'll start to really notice the days getting longer and so on. So it's sort of a package deal this time of year. So with that,
that's good.
Hopefully that answers the question a little bit. Again, that's a little out of my wheelhouse, but I basically just told you everything I knew about it. So hopefully tomorrow there'll be a little bit more clarification if that's what's needed.
Yeah, don't worry. That comes up on every astronomy show we do. So I'm sure we'll do that one again tomorrow. Jason Goff is our guest today, and we talk weather every so often with Jason, whose website is jasonsweather.com. One more email here, and then we'll hit the phones at 800-348-2551. This one is from Scotland. This is from Moya. Moya says, I am from Saratoga originally, but have lived in Scotland for 5 years. I'm perpetually disappointed by weather forecasting here. It's nearly guaranteed that if rain is predicted, it'll be dry, and if sun is predicted, it'll be wet. Is it simply that weather is more difficult to forecast here? I miss your ever spot-on forecasts, and that's from Moya in Edinburgh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, how long have we been doing this show together? For a long time.
Yeah.
That is definitely the farthest away our call or our email is. So
that's pretty cool.
That's
yeah.
pretty impressive. I can't speak to forecasters in Scotland, but I don't know, you know, kind of how that goes. I will say that, you know, everybody is subject to misconceptions about weather forecasts, right? We're all human beings. And the forecasts are not nearly as wrong as people like to think that they are. They just kind of remember the yeah. forecast that go sideways. So I wish I had some more information for her on that. And as far as the Scottish forecasters are concerned, but you know, you do have proximity there to the Eastern Atlantic and you know, the Atlantic Ocean. For our part here, the Western Atlantic, it can certainly wreak havoc on a forecast this time of year. In fact, we will talk a little bit about some weekend possibilities coming up. But I'm sure that it is no picnic to forecast over there, because not only do you have the influence of the ocean, you've got terrain and all kinds of things. So everybody has their forecasting challenges, I suppose.
You know, it's so weird. Don't ask me exactly why. I was researching Norway today during my lunch break because, you know, you got a lunch break and that's safe for work, right? But what I found very interesting about Norway, despite the fact that it's way up there, most of that coast is very moderate. I mean, the temperature is downright mild by comparison.
Well, water has a huge influence on temperatures. You know, we see that here very much in any given year. So, I mean, all the time. And I always tell schools this when I used to go and visit classrooms and stuff, the all-time record high in Bismarck, North Dakota is 114 degrees, right? When you think of the frozen tundra as we're getting the wintertime up there. But the all-time record high in Miami is 99. And the reason for that is because of the specific heat of water, and it heats and absorbs heat at a different rate that the land does. So it has a big influence on temperatures right near the coast. But if you get a little bit farther inland away from the influence of the water, that's when you're going to see some bigger fluctuations. But yeah, man, if you look at a globe, Norway is way up there.
Yeah, and I guess it's on the Gulf Stream. And I think that's the real key here. And I tell you what, let's take a break. Jason Goff is our guest. I want to pick this up again about water, specifically with regard to our current winter and La Nina and its possible effects. We'll also get to your phone calls at 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Third floor, housewares. Fourth floor, sporting goods. I like that elevator.
Very music. Good.
That's good stuff. Jason Goff is our guest. 800-348-2551. It's the weather today on the program. And we'll pick up this thread about the La Nina and water temperatures in a moment. Let's go right now to Joel in Blooming Grove. Joel.
Yes, I am not calling from Scotland. I am calling from about 100 miles south of Albany right now.
Gotcha.
And I need some real-time weather.
Okay.
It's about 41 degrees out here. I'm standing outside, and we're having some precipitation. I don't know if it's sleet or freezing rain. The precipitation are small, I would say the size of kosher salt crystals, and I don't know. Could Mr. Goff explain the difference between sleet and freezing rain? And then I'll know what's falling on my head.
Is it the grapple,
meantime,
Joel?
I'll hang up and,
is, it the, is it the grapple?
It's the what?
Ah, you missed the beginning
it's
of the show.
It's called grapple, yeah. Yeah, it very well could be. If you can pick it up in your hand, is it really soft? Like almost kind of spongy?
No. I can't pick them up in my hand because they seem to disappear when they hit the ground, this precipitation stuff.
Yeah, that is most likely grapple. It is not freezing rain,
grapple?
I can tell you
I never
that.
Heard that word. Is that G-R-O-P-P-L-E?
G-R-A-U-P-E-L. And essentially what it is, it's a super cooled raindrop that starts to crystallize. So it's almost like an infant, if you want to think of it like this, almost like an infant snowflake. That's still kind of in the larval stages, maybe, right? It's still kind of balled up, and it is spongy like that, and it's typical this time of year that you would see that, but it is not freezing rain. Just real quickly, freezing rain, again, is a misnomer. It is actually rain that hits a frozen surface and freezes on contact, whereas sleet is more of you want to think about freezing rain. Sleet is basically like a frozen raindrop. So it is rain that falls through a deeper layer of cold air and freezes on the way down. So that's why you get that pinging on the windshield and things. Grapple doesn't usually make much of a sound because, again, it's soft.
And, Joel, you missed the beginning of the show, but I had the same question you had. I was walking down the street, the sidewalk, at about 10 o'clock this morning, and here's the little spherical snowflakes, and I was holding out my hand, and people on the street thought, even more than usual, that I was completely out of my mind. But I'm holding these things and just watching them disappear. It was really amazing.
Yes, that's what it is. It's grapple. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks for the call.
Already.
Jason Goff is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. Weather today, 800-348-2551. So as we get into this winter now, and are we in meteorological winter at this point, even though we're not officially there? When does that begin?
Right. As of yesterday. The meteorological seasons are done for climatologists because it's just easier to keep up because the days of winter and spring and all that, they're not always on the same day.
Yeah.
So it just makes it easier to do. So the seasons start 3 weeks ahead of the astronomical season. So meteorological winter runs December, January, and February. And then spring, March, April, May, and so on. But it goes from the first of that month to the last of the last month.
I gotcha. Well, you know, we had talked about this a couple of shows ago, that it looked like La Nina would be in effect out in the Pacific. Where are we with that? And is that an accurate barometer of what we might see this winter?
Well, first of all, your first question is yes. It did strengthen a little bit in the tropical Pacific through October, November. So we are going to continue to make our way into a pretty decent La Nina pattern. Now, what that means for us, it's one of those things, Ray, where you can't just go, well, it is this, so it's going to be that.
Yeah.
Especially in this part of the country, in the wintertime, where we say our biggest snows come from coastal storms, and those things are hard to forecast a few days out, much less a few months. So I will tell you that if they had this on the board at Rivers Casino, and you wanted to bet either, the over or under on our snowfall total for this year, our average is about 60 inches. 2 out of 3 years, on average, a La Nina year, you're going to go in under that total, but 1 out of 3, you're going to go above it. So it's kind of like, it's not to say, oh, well, rats, I'm a huge snow lover. It's a La Nina year. We're going to have a crummy year for snow. It just doesn't work that way. And in fact, kind of segue into, we have the possibility, at least for parts of the Northeast, maybe to get a little bit of snow or perhaps even more than a little bit of snow this weekend. We'll see kind of how everything shakes out here in the next couple of days. So, coastal storms are hard to get, especially to get them right in our wheelhouse where they take a good track and really wallop us with snow. And with a La Nina year, it just makes it all the more difficult for that to happen. But it's not that it can't happen.
Jason Goff is our guest. The number to call if you have a weather question is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Back to the phones in a second. But before we do that, what is usually the first day we will get a measurable snowfall in the capital region?
Oh, man. When I first moved back home and started my job at NYT, I did a whole bunch of stuff on that. And there is an average for Albany. There's an average day for the first 1-inch snowfall and 3-inch and 6-inch. And I can't remember now off the top of my head. The first 1-inch snowfall, it may be around late November, early December. I'd have to look that up. But generally speaking, it's, as we get deeper into the fall. And oddly enough, the average first day, now this is the average, of course, of a trace of snow,
yeah,
is actually on October 31st.
I believe
it or not.
And I think we saw some around then too, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly that, snow in October is not anything that's, tremendously rare, even for the valleys here. So there is an average first date. And the Weather Service, the folks at the Weather Service office at Albany do a great job. They compile all kinds of records and stats. So if you're a weather geek like me, it's like going to Disneyland in that sense. They got a lot of good stuff. And so they'll have, average first dates, and then they'll have the latest, 6-inch snowfall on record or 1-inch snow and so on and so forth. But they do keep track of that stuff.
Jason Goff.
I just can't remember it.
Well, that's all right. I'm sorry to throw you under the bus there. Jason Goff is our guest today, and it's weather. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551, and we go to Chris in Housatonic. Chris.
Yeah, Ray, I got a question for you, and I saw something very strange last night. I was over at the airport, and I just sat there for about 15 minutes. And I saw in the distance this strange light in the sky. And I said, no, it can't be the city lights. But it was a strange reddish light in the sky. And I don't know what it was, to be honest with you. But I sat there for at least 20 minutes looking at this. And I'm saying, what could this be?
All right, well,
could
I'm not sure.
Could it be the
probably Mars, and we'll throw it to Jason Goff, who, by the way, is a meteorologist and not an astronomer. We are doing an astronomy show tomorrow, Chris, so what I would suggest you do, we'll let Jason try to answer your question, but if you do not receive a satisfactory answer, jot down all you remember about this bright orange light, including what direction you were looking, and tomorrow on the astronomy show, I'll bet they'll have an answer for you. But Jason, go ahead. Take a whack at this.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, it very well could be Mars. But the thing about last night was, at least in a lot of spots, the skies stayed pretty cloudy for a while. So I wouldn't know if Mars was going to be visible or not. But generally this is the time of year where we're getting more into seeing, you know, Venus and Jupiter and Saturn, even as we get into January. So it's not that Mars isn't there. It's just not as bright this time of year as it is, you know, in other times of the year. So other than that, man, I can't be of much help. Like I said, there were still quite a few clouds around last night. We didn't clear out until a little bit later in the overnight hours.
So you never know, Chris. I'll tell you what, Bob Berman and Valerie Rapson will be on tomorrow. Give us a shout, and they'll try to hash that out for you. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Jason Goff is our guest. His website is jasonsweather.com. This email from Mark. Mark says, it seems like we always see lightning and thunder associated with storms during the warmer months. Why is it that we never see lightning and thunder during a snowstorm? Is this even possible? And if not, why not? Well, you and I both know that it is possible, but go ahead, Jason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. Yeah, it's more common, obviously, to see, you know, lightning in the summertime than in the wintertime. But you certainly can get it. And, in fact, in some of the, you know, real intense, and I have yet to see this, by the way, Ray. I would really like to check out a lake effect band, hopefully not while I'm trying to get someplace, but the lake effect snow bands that come off of, say, Lake Ontario, there was so much energy involved in that process that energy alone, the dynamics, as they're called, will help to generate lightning. And so you will get thunder snow. It's not only lake effect snow, but that's where you'll find it most commonly. We can get thunder snow around here from time to time. It's not, you know, a common thing, but it's certainly not unheard of. We've had it, I don't know, if I had to guess, I would say you might hear thunder snow once every 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
In this part of the state, or this part of the Northeast, but it's more common with the lake effect snows coming off of Lake Ontario. But generally speaking, it's a lot more favorable environment to have a lot more heat to bring in lightning than it is the winter months, for sure.
This email from Jonathan in East Chatham. Jonathan says, I live in East Chatham and look at weather on the Weather Channel in the morning and watch your former channel. My question is in regard to the source of the information. If one looks on the internet for any hamlet, village, or town in the world, one receives data for every specific location. I have a pretty good idea that there is not a weather station in all of the remote areas in the country, much less the world. Where does this information come from? And that is from Jonathan in East Chatham.
That's a good question. It would be great if we did have reporting stations all over the place, because if we had that and then we had an increase in computer processing speed, then not that they're not, you know, fast now, but they would have to be even exponentially faster, then the forecast would be more accurate farther out in time, which would be a nice thing to do. But so they are, and this is what computer models do too. They make approximations and assumptions. So if in East Chatham you click on someplace, or if wherever you click on any map, it's going to give you the closest station to that location, and the forecast will be generated from wherever it's generated from, either the National Weather Service or, as you said, the Weather Channel or whatever. So you are in an average sample size, quite literally, when you're clicking onto those things, and it just gives you that little spot there.
Yeah, when I'm doing my newscasts in the morning, I'll pull 4 or 5 temperatures for different areas in our listening area, and I like to just, you know, throw in a very, I'll put in Big Moose, New York, or East Floyd, New York, or someplace where clearly you're not going to have a weather station. And what I notice is on the website that I use, it just picks the nearest town where they have one and gives you that temperature.
Exactly. Now, I will tell you this too, Ray, and everybody that's listening, there is a wonderful service and site called the New York State Mesonet. And this came about after I'll give you a brief history on it. After they had all of that snow out in Buffalo, and it was just outrageous. I don't know if you remember that, it's 7 and 8 feet of snow out there several years ago.
Yep.
So, the State University of New York at UAlbany They helped to develop this network called MesoNet. And they have stations all over New York State, and you can go right on it. It's MesoNet.org, I think. Let me just check here real quick as I'm looking. Yeah, NYSMesoNet.org. And you can pick a station that's closest to your house, and there are 120 of them, I believe, around the state. And you can look all over the place. It's very well laid out. They have webcams at every site. And then you can look back at the mediograms to kind of see what the high and low of the day was and all kinds of things. So you can add that to your news feeds from now on, Ray. You can go on to the NYSMesoNet.org site, and then you can pick all kinds of random sites if you wanted to go all the way up to, you know, Gabriel's, New York, or Malone. Certainly people have heard of Malone, but there are some other places that are, well, at least a little bit more obscure. If you're not from that immediate area.
I love it. All right, back to the phones we go. Jason Goff is our guest. Our number is 800-348-2551. Kathy in Liberty. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I have a beef with the weather these days.
I like it.
And I wanted to ask Jason if it's just in my head or if it's real. And that is this, that the winters used to be, and I don't mean when I was a kid. I mean, 8, 10 years ago, they would be cold and crisp, blue skies. We'd have a big snowstorm. We'd get 2 or 3 feet of snow, shovel everything out. And then the next day or so, blue skies, sunshine, crisp and cold.
Hmm.
And it just seems like in the last few years, the winters are gray and really raw and lots of sort of ice and not a lot of snow. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of snow. I mean, there's some snow, and we might have 1 or 2 storms, but am I imagining this? Or
grayer and more raw. That sounds like me approaching old age. Jason, what do you think?
I am approaching old age. I'm here, and that's why I don't like this.
I hear you.
I understand. Yeah. So the short answer is yes, you are imagining that. People and Ray and I think Ray and I talk about this in a different capacity. And it truly is fascinating to me. And I do this. Well, I used to do it for a living. Now I do it for an intense hobby. And even I am subject to subjectivity when it comes to remembering weather and how things are and all that sort of a thing, because I get emails all the time from people saying, this is the windiest year I can remember, or this is the cloudiest year I can remember, or the hottest, or whatever. And it might seem like that in the moment, but the numbers don't lie. When you go back and take a look and see what, you know, the different days brought in terms of the numbers and, you know, the amount of sun that we had and all of that, there's not much in the way of difference. Winters here tend to be cloudier than the summers, that's for sure. November is actually in any given year, November is actually our cloudiest month. So at least we have that behind us, which is nice. But generally, we're going to have more clouds in the wintertime than we are in the summer. So, you know, we'll have our share of days where we get a nice ridge of high pressure around. And, you know, especially like we were talking about in a La Nina year, if we can get into a southwest flow where that high sets up, you know, to our south, and we're in pretty good shape. We'll get into some blue skies and temperatures will be in the 40s and everybody's relatively happy. So don't worry about it. It's not, I mean, certainly the climate is changing, our weather is changing, but it's not to the point where, we hit a wall and now we don't have any sunny days in the wintertime. That's not the case. So don't worry about that.
So I don't have to plan to move out to Arizona for 3 months.
You could do that anyway.
You could do that anyway.
No.
Sounds pretty good.
Hey, not my kind of place.
Well, Kathy,
I like the desert, but
thank
I don't
you very
like the
much
politics.
For the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye now. Jason Goff is our guest. And our number is 800-348-2551. If you would like to follow along at home, you can always check out Jason's website, jasonsweather.com, which is a veritable font of useful information. Mike in New Windsor, you're on. Mike.
Yeah, my question is about the Farmer's Almanac, but first I'd like to say my brother went to Potsdam back in 68, and he said we had two seasons, Fourth of July in winter.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. Yep, you're in South Canada up there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm over 70, and I remember in Newburgh they had ice at the ice breakers coming up through to let traffic go through, and we used to have snow that, you know, I mean, as kids we had snow starting November, went into March. And it is a lot milder since we had frost in the ground 3 or 4 feet because I was a builder. I had to, you know, unfreeze the ground. So the weather has changed. But I just wondered, how much do you know anything about the Farmers Allowance Act and how accurate they are?
There we go.
Where they get their information from? There's always a mystery.
Now you've started it, Mike. All right, Jason, go ahead.
Oh, boy. Well, the Farmer's Almanac has some very good qualities to it. Forecasting in terms of really, nailing some forecasts, not so much. Because first of all, it's published well in advance, and we all know how difficult the weather is to forecast, you know, even a few days out, much less, you know, from the time that the almanac is written and put it out there and all that. Like I said, I think the Farmer's Almanac is great. It's just not something to rely on in terms of saying, okay, well, I want to drive to, you know, X on January 12th, so let's consult the Farmer's Almanac.
Right.
I just wouldn't I wouldn't put any stock into that.
Yeah, we grew up on a farm, and my father said that paper is only good for one thing. So,
well, thank you for not going any further with that, Mike. We appreciate it.
I just wondered. I mean, people still quote it, and they still, well, you know, they said it's going to be a mile. Well, one reason it was a mile when it was coming is because, I guess, not El Nino, but there's another term.
Well, yeah, we talked about that, La Nina. And, Jason, we have to go to a break, but you can quickly give a précis of what we talked about there.
Yep, I sure will. We're going to go to break now, Ray?
We can, but, Mike, if you hang in there, we'll talk about La Nina again. And we are overdue, so let's take it now. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Weather with Jason Goff. You can also email us, voxpopwamc.org. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Jason Goff is here to talk about the weather with you at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. To recap what you and I talked about, La Nina is, it's warm water, right?
La Nina is a colder part in the Pacific. The water is colder because you get a little bit stronger winds that blow across the surface of the Pacific. So you get what's called upwelling, so that colder water from the depths gets mixed and it comes a little bit farther up to the surface. And so that, you know, the thing about weather is that it's part of a system, and it's a global system. And so, you know, you move one piece somewhere, and somewhere else something is going to be adjusted. And in that case, you know, with a La Nina winter for us generally means that things can be milder and less snowy, but not always, mm-hmm. as we discussed before.
Right. And El Nino is warm. Okay, I had it backwards.
Yep, El Nino is the warmer waters, and it was discovered actually right in December, which is how it got its name, by some Peruvian fishermen who were figuring that out. So pretty wild stuff. It's not really been in the it's not really been on the table for a long time, so to speak. It really didn't get going until the 80s that we started to understand it a little bit. So it's an evolving science, but we're understanding more and more how much it influences, you know, not only the weather in the Northeast, but all around the world.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jason Goff is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. Dave is in Stillwater. Dave, you're on.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great program, great information.
Thank you.
Jason, could you kindly repeat that website where you can get weather locations around the state? But could you kindly spell it? Because I can't even spell my name sometimes.
I'm with you there, Dave.
Yeah, right there with you. It is NYS Mesonet. That's NYSMESONET .org.
Oh, and all of the, and I was able
all of the. Yep.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, pardon the interruption. I just want to repeat NYSMESONET.org.
Yes. Yep. And it is paid for by your tax dollars, and it's a great site.
Well, thanks for the call, Dave. Good luck with that. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Meteorologist Jason Goff joins us every so often on this program, and Gary is in West Glenville. Gary, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Jason, I really miss you back when you used to be on television doing the news. Things are a little different now. My question isn't so much about a specific weather pattern, but about weather broadcasting on television.
No,
I remember growing up that, you know, they'd be half-hour news, and at the end they'd do sports, and finally the weather, which we all of us look forward to. And it just seems like on, well, a station I watch, every 10 minutes – they come in with the weather forecast, which really hasn't changed. And now they have all these other, you know, dog walking forecasts, golfing forecast, all the stuff that's, to me, not related.
Yeah, no, I get you.
To what's going on with weather. Now, why has social media or TV, why have they gone that way rather than just giving it to us straight like you used to?
Well, let's see, Ray.
You may not want to answer that.
No, I have the 7-second delay if he starts swearing, Gary. So go ahead, Jason.
No, so basically what you're looking at is the television news business is not nearly as successful as it once was. And folks are trying, they're trying their best to maintain that lead, so to speak, and they are basically trying to plug a dam that's continuing to get a lot of holes in it. And so you have folks that are television consultants, and I've made my feelings known about television consultants many times on this program. So they, in their infinite wisdom, you know, say, well, this is what people want, and they do research. And now there is some truth to that, because at the end of the day, it is, in a sense, how I designed my website. Like, you know, the weather forecast is only as good as its relevance to people, right? So you want to be able to relate to people and say, okay, you know, so a dog walking forecast is not a bad thing, because if you have a, you know, I have a dog and you want to know, you know, what might be a good time to take her to the park, or you know, if it's going to rain this afternoon, do we need to get her and wear her out beforehand so she'll sleep or whatever? So that's a good piece of it. But there, weather is really the only thing, other than breaking news and some other, you know, investigational pieces and things like that. But weather is really the thing that's keeping local news afloat. And so they're trying to maximize its visibility as much as they can.
Okay. I guess I get that, but it's almost turning me off a little. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it turned Jason off, too. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Gary, thanks a lot for the call. You know, do you ever miss it, though, Jason? You got this great website, and it's a lot of work. I mean, people can sign up and get individualized weather forecasts, for Pete's sake, which I don't even know. I hope you have interns to do all that for you. But do you ever miss it, putting on the suit and going on the TV?
I do. I do miss that piece of it. I don't miss the business aspect of it. You know, and frankly, most people that are in it don't either, just because, as I said, it's not nearly as lucrative as it once was, across the board. But that part of it, I do. It's when I was on television, it was never about being on TV. It was about being able to talk about something that I love to a lot of people at once. And television afforded me the opportunity to do that. So I do miss that. On occasion, I've thought about, you know, giving one or two of the stations a call and just saying, hey, if you ever want somebody to fill in once or twice, you know, I can jump on a suit. I'm sure it's like riding a bike, you know, and go in and and do a forecast or two. So I do miss that piece of it very much, yes.
You know, you had talked earlier in the show, just in passing, that there might be some snow ahead. And could you maybe give us a little, without going out too far on a limb, and I know 3-4 days it gets to be kind of a crapshoot, but what are we looking at here?
Yeah, so right now with what models are having a difficult time resolving, you know, amongst themselves, what there are going to be a couple of pieces of energy that are going to come together. And that's the first ingredient, in a sense, that you need for a coastal storm to get going for us. The question is, you know, yesterday was like, well, are these things going to get together? That seems to have been answered that yes, they are. The question is then where will they get going? Because they have to get going in just the right spot or wrong spot, depending on how you feel about snow, for us to get a good amount of snow. So if they get together a little bit farther to the east, that's when you get snows from Boston to New York City and even down to D.C. If they are able to get their act together a little bit farther inland, and then you get that storm that comes right up the coast, that develops along the coast and comes right up it, that's generally what we need to get our good snows here. You've got to have a good source of cold air coming down from the north, so you want to have a big high up north. So there will be some cold air around, but it's going to be tied into how these systems all come together, which the models will get that resolved here in the next day or two, and we'll have at least a little bit of a better shot of what it is that we're going to see. But as of right now, it looks like certainly for for our listeners that are in Western New England, as things look now, have a better shot of getting some snow than the New York State does, but that certainly is subject to change, and it probably will.
This storm that came through, and for the most part, it was rain, although I'm sure some spots, higher elevations, had some decent amount of snow over the last day or two. How much rain did we get in the greater Albany area?
We actually, it was set at, I mean, it's not like it's a monumental thing, but Albany actually set a daily rainfall record. We had about an inch and a half of rain that came. So, yeah, it was a good little storm, but we were actually on most of our area, including, you know, the WAMC listening area, which is huge, stayed on the warm side of this storm. The nastier weather was out in Western New York, Buffalo, out to Cleveland. If you saw any pictures, I saw some video from Cleveland this morning, and it just, you know, it looked like the frozen tundra winter wonderland out there. It was like a whole different planet from what we're seeing here. You know, we were in the 50s yesterday morning, and they're getting pounded with snow. So we for the most part were just rain and then some snow on the back side of it up along Lake Ontario, but that's about it.
Meteorologist Jason Goff with us. If you'd like to get in with a question, you can give us a call at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And this email came in from Sue. Subject heading, fat snowflakes. Last year I was outside while it was snowing and looked down at my sweater. The flakes on it were perfectly shaped, but thick. They looked like something you'd buy in a jar to decorate cookies. They were beautiful, but not anything I'd ever seen before. How did they form versus regular, more delicate flakes? And that's from Sue.
Well, the short answer is it's a higher water content, and there are different zones within the clouds and with storms where you can really maximize your snow growth. And that, of course, comes into play if you're a forecaster and trying to figure out how much snow a particular area is going to get, you know, accumulation-wise. It's not only how much moisture is available, but how efficient is the snowflake, process going to be? Are we going to have those little grainy bits of snow, which obviously you need a lot more of those to equal a foot as opposed to those bigger flakes that Sue was talking about? So you've got a higher water content there, and you just have a very efficient snowmaking process. You tend to see those types of flakes when you're pretty close to that rain snow line.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You said, I think you said at the beginning of the show, 60 inches is about right for a season around here?
Yes, 60 inches, it may even be like 59.2 now or something like that. But, yeah, about 5 feet a year is what the average is officially for Albany.
What's the snowiest portion of the WAMC listening area, bearing in mind that we're up to the Canadian border, into New Hampshire, out to near Syracuse, down into Westchester, into Connecticut, et cetera, et cetera? What's the area where you would not expect it, but they get pounded?
Well, if you go up, if you're going up along the Canadian border, up to that area, like you think about, like you mentioned, Syracuse and Lake Ontario and all that, yeah, you can get a lot of snow there, but that's a lot of that is lake effect derived, right? Which, you know, still it's a lot of snow.
Yeah.
But when you look at, like, I was amazed when I'm doing ski reports and ski forecasts for my site. I'm going to actually start them next week. And when you look at some of the snowfall totals from, like, up around Jay Peak, which is way up in northern Vermont, and then I don't cover New Hampshire because it's out of our area here, but the amount of snow that they get up there, you just wouldn't think about it because it's inland, but they have moisture sources and they get a fair amount of snow up there, more so than we would get here. And it's not coming from any coastal storm and it's not coming from a lake effect. So it's pretty neat.
It is pretty neat. And I don't know how you keep it all straight. I mean, I know you went to school for this, but there are so many variables. It's really tough to fathom when you are a mere civilian. Let's go to Barbara in Albany. Barbara, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to comment on the lady who said she remembers the crisp, bright, cold days not so many years ago. I'm thinking what she's observing is global warming, because as it gets warmer, the snow melts, then it freezes at night, then we have ice during the day. We don't have many, many days of snow, even when the sun's out. It's just melting more and then freezing. What do you think?
Well, as I said, certainly global warming is a thing, but it's very difficult to draw a straight line between that and saying, well, 20 years ago, we had more blue skies in the wintertime. There are lots of different implications from, you know, climate change and global warming. But again, that was more of a function, as I said, as we all are guilty of this, kind of selective memory when it comes to weather and, about things being, and nobody ever seems to say, well, I remember the weather back so-and-so was a lot crummier than it is now. It's always like, it's always too windy or it's too snowy or it's too hot or it's too cold. So that's really what that is. But certainly, again.
Well, what I was thinking is that even though it was very sunny, it stayed cold. And now when it's very sunny, it might not be as cold.
Yes. That's also, you know, we can have days here in January where there is not a cloud in the sky and it's a deep blue and the high temperature might be 12 right. degrees. It all depends on snowpack. And it depends on the position of the area of high pressure that's giving us those blue skies. So if we have a high to our south, which would be a little bit more common with a La Nina winter like we're getting into here, then, yeah, we'll have those opportunities for days where we're going to have some sun with temperatures in the 40s. Tomorrow's is a pretty good example of that, where we're going to be into the 40s. Now it's only early December, but we may see – I'd be shocked if we didn't have at least 6-8 maybe even 10 days in January where we didn't have a high in the 40s, in at least in Albany.
All right, Barbara, thank you very much for the call. Jason Goff, you mentioned that you are going to be doing ski reports as of what, tomorrow on your website?
No, I'm going to start them next week. So they'll be coming out. I'll have them out for the weekends. So folks will be able to go on there. And I do, New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts with the ski areas and links and all of that. The ski places are open for business this year. I read an article about it the other day. Like everybody else, they have protocols in place, and they're encouraging folks to stay, to change in their cars as opposed to in locker rooms and stuff like that. But the ski places will be open, and hopefully we'll have some snow for folks to be able to ski on before too long.
That's pretty good. The website is jasonsweather.com. I noticed that NORAD is now launching the Santa Tracker. Will you be having that on the website?
I'll put the link on there for sure. Yeah, that's always a fun thing to see as well, with Santa going and doing his thing. He gets around, man. It's a lot of fun to watch.
He sure does get around. And if I knew what he was bringing, I wouldn't have to spend so much money this year. But I have a feeling it's going to be just the same as last year. I'll be penniless by January. Hey, man, thanks a lot for being here. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Always a pleasure, Ray. Thank you, sir.
Jason Goff, thank you very much. Jasonsweather.com is the website. Support comes from Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, presenting a Zoom discussion of Bombshell, the Hedy Lamarr story, December 6th at 7 p.m. Reservations required. sjca.sjcf@gmail.com. At Northshire Bookstore, independent and family-owned, stocked and ready for early holiday shopping, both in-store and online, northshire.com. Well, that's it for today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the emails. Thanks to Jason Goff for being on the line with us today. Always fun when Jason is here. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Matt Plummer took the calls. You know, tomorrow on the program, it's astronomy. So if Chris from Housatonic jots down all the information from his UFO sighting, call us tomorrow at 2, and you'll be sure to annoy Bob Berman. It'll be Bob Berman and Valerie Rapson tomorrow. We'll talk astronomy. Right now, stand by for 51%.